Welcome to Rethink Real Estate. My name is Ben Brady, and this is a real estate podcast based around the principles of our non-distressed auction model and Australian real estate concepts at work today in the US marketplace. We focus on scripts, dialogues, real situations in negotiation, listing appointments, prospecting, and all concepts to do with real estate. We look forward to being real and rethinking real estate with you. Hi there, folks. Welcome to another episode of Rethink Real Estate. Me flying solo today. Jason's not here with me. I wanted to go through a couple of things, though, because I did a listing presentation training session today, and it reminded me of a few things. We've actually just rolled out our virtual training room, and it was our first training session today, which went really, really well. Had 46 people watching in and really, really enjoyed it. However, the thing that I wanted to actually go through with you today that was a brief reminder of exactly what we're experiencing out there in the market place at the moment in respect to listing presentations. You know, the Harcourts network in its entirety here in the US is actually going through a little bit of a shift in respect to, you know, understanding, you know, the way that the expired listing presentation works and being in a fair bit of competition with other people. And I wanted to go through today just some of the fundamental things that we don't need to sort of lapse on when we go into an expired listing. We often think that because of our auction process that we have the upper hand on everybody, and we just don't do some of the fundamental basics that we've gone through in a couple of our podcast episodes, but I wanted to go through and remind of a couple of things. You know, setting up of that appointment is actually one of the key things that is, I believe, the backbone to any good listing presentation. Giving people the perception of what is to come is certainly one of those things. And ultimately, I have a sort of a seven-step criteria that we ultimately go through when that appointment is being set, or you find somebody that is looking or says yes, that, hey, yeah, come through, I would love to talk to you a little bit further about listing your property. And, you know, I just don't want any of those basic principles to fall by the wayside because we're going after expired listings. And that, again, doesn't necessarily mean that we need to lapse on some of the primary fundamentals that's got us there in the first place. So, for example, one of the things that I discussed today with the entire team was along the lines of when you get somebody that find the ward, when you find somebody, whether it be from your sphere, whether it be door knocking, whether it be, you know, out there in the expired world, is that as soon as you find somebody that's looking to ideally list their property, is that not to go down the path straight away of trying to set up that appointment too quickly. I think that one of the things that we all fall into the category of is acting a little bit too desperate when it comes to finding somebody that is looking at selling. Is going, oh, please pick me kind of thing. And we get into a habit of not handling it as appropriately as what we should. So for example, one of the first steps I've told everybody, so if you somebody calls you from your sphere or somebody calls you off a sign, they've seen a sold sign, they go, hey Ben, this is John Smith, I've got a property at 123 Smith Street and I'd love you to come by and give us an idea of how you sold the other property in the street. I've always been a massive advocate of actually going down the path and saying, well, hey John, appreciate the phone call, I would really love the opportunity, but do you mind if I gave you a call back in about an hour's time when I'm in an appropriate position to take some notes down and best prepare for the appointment? Does that bother you at all? No, that's fine. Great, excellent. So the call's going to go for between 5 and 10 minutes. Does that still work for you okay? Yep, sure. Great. So if I give you a call back in about an hour's time, does that work? Yep. Excellent. Thank you. Now, the reason that we're doing that is so that we can get into a mental set along the lines of, hey, you know, get ready into that mental set and ask those questions. But these are the things that we're forgetting, because even when you're out door knocking and someone says, oh, well, we actually have considered selling, would you mind telling us a little bit more about it? Saying to them, guys, what I'd love to do is that I wanted to keep door knocking because this is my time to do so at the moment. I'll be back in the office in roughly about half an hour's time. Is it okay if I give you a call then and I set up the appointment appropriately by asking you a few questions? If you get an expired listing, yes, you've got to execute on that appointment. So you're on the phones, you're calling expireds and someone says, okay, we'll come over and tell me a little bit more about this auction thing. Say to him, great, no problem at all. When's the best time for me to come by? Bang, get that time sorted out. Is it okay if I call you back at the end of today and just run through a few questions about your property so I'm best prepared to actually come out and see you? So that then we can get attached to some of the fundamental things that are winning us business out there in the field. So for example, when we did call anybody back, whether it be somebody that's called you, whether you've been door knocking, whether you're out there in the expired world and you call them back later on that day, going through the tiered structure that I want to remind everybody about, on that phone call when you're calling them back is that, one, give them a buzz. Thanks very much for giving me the time to actually give you a call back. I'm in a great position now that I can take some notes down. The call's going to go for between 5 and 10 minutes. Does that still suit you okay, Mr. Seller? Oh, sure. That yes, it does. Great. So going through your property in a little bit more detail, for example, could you give me a virtual tour of your home where you start at the front of the property and work all the way through, focusing on key reasons that you bought the home, but also some improvements that you might have made while you're there? So because these are the key things that people are going to want to focus on when it comes to them buying their property. So I think that I think that these are some of the fundamentals, guys, that we're missing out on is we're just trying to secure the appointment and then go to the next step of it when we really need this extra stuff. So in this second phone call, again, going through and asking for a virtual tour of the property, the reason that this is so vitally important to the listing presentation is that nobody is going to list with you unless they have a level of rapport with you, a level of likability from the very outset. And when you ask them to do a virtual tour of the property, you get a very clear-cut vision of what those people are like. So for example, I've been into a number of properties before where the picture that the seller has displayed to me of what the property is completely opposite. It's nowhere near the case of what the property actually is, and nowhere near the logic. However, we've got to remember that if we are in the position of winning real estate and winning business, is that we have to make sure that we are ecstatic about that property is what the seller is. You know, a great example is a seller that we went to a while back, and they said, well, we've got a wonderful view on the property. You walk in and there actually really was not any view whatsoever. But if we ignored that viewpoint and didn't have the notes written down prior to getting there, we would have, I don't believe, gotten the business, because it was a real key focal point in them wanting to understand that we love the property. Everybody always says that I don't want to take on a property where the seller is delusional or they're unrealistic or whatever it may be. You need to make that decision in respect to at what point is your business at, how busy are you, but not to mention as well, come to the notion that people are not going to tell you the truth or not going to admit that they're that motivated meeting a perfectly good stranger in the first meeting. They're not going to admit we really do need to sell. So taking that business on could be an important step. Certainly if it's been on the marketplace previously, they might have just been fed up. If they're putting it straight back on the market, there might be some underlying motivation that they're not disclosing. So you need to take an assessment call on that perspective. But what I'm really getting at for this podcast is going down the path of making sure we go that extra step further and continue to do the fundamentals for our expired listings or whatever it may be. Just the listings and just trying to set an appointment and turning up is nowhere near the structure that we need to do. Taking the time to give the seller a call back, ask them for a virtual tour of the property where you ask them, what is the street appeal of the property like? Okay, great. What type of front yard do you have? Is it landscaped? Is it not landscaped? Well, it is. Excellent. If I walk up, is there a front porch? No. There's no front porch. Great. Okay. When I walk up to the door, is it a double door? Is it a single door? It's a single door. Great. When I open that door and I enter in, what type of floor covering am I met by? Oh, it's a hardwood floor. Excellent. What's the color scheme that we're at this point? Well, you know, we've got lighter colors, sort of neutral colors. Excellent. That's great. Neutrals are good, is good to hear. Now, if I walked through, where would I turn to, or what would be the next room that I'd naturally progress to? Well, the family room's on the right side. Okay. Is it a sunken family room? Is it the same level? Is it the same flooring as what you discuss that hardwood flooring throughout? Yes, it is. Color scheme is still that neutral color scheme. Yep. What type of light fixtures do you have in the room? Is there a focal point? Is there not a focal point? Is there curtains? Is there blinds? All of these type of things you might be sitting there on the podcast listening to at the moment going, hey, this is just crap. This is silly. Why would I actually go through the process of actually going through this type of stuff? It's because what I'm doing is on the phone at the moment, I've got a blank piece of paper and I'm writing down as many notes as I possibly can that when I approach the front door, then I have an incredible amount of talking points. I have an ability to build rapport very quickly. So for example, a seller says to you, oh no, we have a great street appeal with our property. It looks wonderful. That is maybe the first thing that you mention as soon as I open the door. Hey, you were right on the phone is that it does have a pretty nice street appeal. There's no question about that. Ben Brady's my name. How are you? So either way, guys, these are just some of the key points when you're setting up an appointment that people are missing. And I don't need to take you through every single other little step, because it's in this podcast even further where you ask for the permission to be the last person in so that you're their real estate advisor. It's got nothing to do with closing. The other part also is that, you know, the other part as well is going down and asking them, hey, can you give me your word you won't sign with anyone else until you've heard what I have to say? It gives you a perspective of whether or not they have other competition. competition coming in. And then it gives you an opportunity to justify it as well. Mr. and Ms. Seller, the reason that I ask that question is because of situations that I've seen or I've been in the past where they've chosen a realtor that's been the first in the door and they've cancelled the other appointments. And ultimately, we've had to turn up and mop up the mess, for lack of better terminology, of that other agent. And it was detrimental to the end outcome that the seller could get them. So either way, I'm just trying to point out some clear points when you're setting up the appointment, not to panic and just try and get the appointment to get in the front door, because you know that these listings are being highly fought after at the moment. You need to take some fundamental steps in order to make sure that you're getting the business from the very outset, because this is what they are expecting from you. For example, the listing kit going out 24 hours before the listing appointment, making sure you don't set the listing appointment the same day as that appointment, maybe giving yourself a little bit of a buffer time. Hey, I may be 15 minutes late running late from another appointment, but either way, I would hate to be late to your appointment. Could we say between 6 and 6:15 that I'll be there? Is that okay with you? Sure. Just giving yourself some flexibility there. But then the primary one that I'm very, very passionate about, and I believe that this is the catalyst to so many people not getting as much business as what they want, is not making the phone call the day before the appointment or the morning before the appointment to ask them about the local comparatives, so that therefore you can get a gauge on what they're looking for in respect to price. Not getting price out of somebody before you go to a listing presentation is a complete travesty when it comes to trying to get that business. So for example, ring, ring, ring. Hi there, Mr. Seller. It's Ben Brady from Harcourts. I'm really looking forward to seeing you today. Are we still on for between 6 and 6:15 this evening? Yeah, Ben, we're still on for that. Great, excellent. I just wanted to call up also and have a conversation with you because I'm doing some research about your property, as I've got those detailed notes. It's giving me a really accurate assessment of what to look at. I was just wondering if you were familiar with 123 Smith Street. It's a street over from you. It's relatively comparable in respect to size. I'm not sure what the quality of it's like, because you've said yours is very high quality. It sold for $550,000. Would your home be better or worse than that property? Oh, well, Ben, I'm not really quite sure. I didn't see that property. Is there a property locally that you've seen that sort of has triggered you guys to sell? Has there been any motivation from that perspective? Well, no, not really. We're just looking to move on. What about the one across the road that sold? It was a little bit later, a little bit further ago. It was about 6 months ago, so it might not be as relevant as what we'd like it to be. Oh, yeah, they gave that property away. So, well, they sold it for $570,000. So you would be looking between 570 and 6, or 6 to 650. Well, we would definitely like to see our property go over 6. So why don't I bring along some comparisons between 6 and 650, and we can have a look at those. How's that sound? Okay, great, excellent. So these are the type of questions that, even though you might be doing an inspired listing, you might be doing something where you've done some door knocking, you've followed somebody up from an open house, they've called you in from a sold sign, it's come from your sphere. These are the fundamental activities that need to happen each individual time that we can't lapse on, because we're having to fight so hard in the listing presentations to get the business, when the work could be so much easier if we do that lead up work. Now, it leads me all to the next point, which is the property tour itself. I've been on so many listing presentations through the end of last year that, you know, and it's just becoming more and more evident that the agents are not caring about the listing that they're going in on. And granted, I'm not passionate about property whatsoever, and I can be at risk of doing this sometimes. But unless we fall back into our routine and fall back into our habits, then we're never going to execute on the business the way that we should. If we allow ourselves to, you know, deviate from the path that is most correct in making sure that we get as much business as possible in that listing appointment, have as much success, then it's just going to be more difficult, and we need to be absolutely way better at our listing appointment when we don't need to be. You know, we don't need to oversell ourselves. We don't need to overpromise to get the business if our follow-up throughout that entire course, those simple 7 steps to setting that appointment before you get there, happens. But then it all comes back down to the property tour as well. When you get to the property, I certainly have a distinct way of doing it. I always had a routine that I could fall into, so that therefore nothing was missed. For example, walking up to the front door, if there was a doorbell, I would always ring the doorbell, and also a prolonged knock and ringing of the doorbell, because I've been in countless situations and seen countless situations where the seller is confused. Was that a knock at the door? Did the doorbell really ring? And there's this sense of social awkwardness at the front door because no one knows what's going on. The other thing is that they would open the door. I would obviously say something that we'd been discussing on the phone after I'd gotten that virtual tour and those notes, whether it be the landscaping, whether it be the location, whether it be the porch that they'd mentioned that they, oh, well, hey guys, this really does classify as a front porch. Just one clarification, one little conversation. For example, I was at a listing presentation at the end of last year. The gentleman had mentioned prior to us getting there that the driveway was a real selling point for him, how big it was because he could park multiple cars there. It gave a lot of space and a lot of convenience. So I walked up and it was the first thing I said, hey, that driveway is really a great asset in respect to how many cars you can park there. He's like, yeah, it is, isn't it? It really is. Now, the agent had clearly told me that because I was going in as a third party, but it really resonated with him and kicked off that meeting really well. Then obviously I walk in the door, I introduce myself and I take direction. This is an important part in the property tour. If you've ever had a seller say to you, well, do you want to look around or do you want to sit down first? That means you've failed in all respect, guys, is that you need to be taking as much charge as you possibly can in that situation in order for you to actually, you know, take a direction and take the meeting in the direction that you want it to go in. So my words would be, Mr. Marcel, the way that I'd like to operate today is that if we could put my stuff down at the dining room table because that's where I'd like to end up, or on the kitchen counter or the kitchen bench top, so that then we could stand around and look at it there, whatever's more convenient, because I need to show you some stuff, and sitting in the lounge room just is a little bit awkward for me to do so. Also, then I'd like to go through and just compare those notes that I took on the phone the other day so that I get a really clear understanding of your property before we go ahead and discuss the pathway in order to get it sold. Now, this creates a very good, simple form of guidance. Now, in some cases, you have sellers that just fling open the front door and they might be on the phone or like, come in. I had a situation a while back where a gentleman was on the phone, flung open the front door, was like, yeah, come in, I got to finish his call. And I just stood at the front door along with the agent. The agent was sort of pushing me in the back going, hey, go. But it was like, no. Hey, we stood there for a good minute or so and then they realized that we weren't in the house. So then the guys come out and said, hey, you finish your phone call. We'll wait here so that we can just start off our tour properly. Anyway, finished his phone call, came back and goes, all right, okay, guys. And then we went from there. I introduced myself. I said, hey, can we sit down at the dining room table and put my stuff down? And then we'll go and we'll go through a detailed tour of the property so we can compare the notes that this gentleman took on your home. Is that okay with you? Yeah, sure is. You know, this is the stuff that really helped, because as much as you thought that guy didn't care about us looking at his property, he showed that property to us with so much passion that you knew that it was a clear point of a point for him and how much he loved his property. So once we go through, then a couple of other fundamental rules is making sure that we don't just pop our head into the bedrooms. I always had a rule that I'd go into the bedroom, walk to the furthest corner if I could get there, open the window coverings if in fact there were some, to look through the window to see the view, open the closet and ask for permission. If the seller was a little bit awkward about opening the closet because it was messy, I'd say, hey, look, we deal with tenanted properties. I'm sure this is a dream in comparison to it. So that was one of the rules, is making sure I walked into every single bedroom. And if I couldn't get into that bedroom, I'd say, hey guys, I'd love to make it a time to come back and see that, just so that I've seen every part of the house, see how much they cared about me looking at the property. Not to mention as well, I'd always touch the back boundary or the fence line or whatever it may be. I would walk outside regardless of the conditions, regardless of, you know, the overgrown grass or the overgrown weeds or whatever it may be, I would take the opportunity to walk out and touch the back boundary so that therefore they really felt like I cared. The other thing also, guys, that you need to take into consideration, I was on a rural property a while back and unfortunately the agent I was with decided that they wouldn't come walking through into the mud, even though I did with my black shiny shoes on, is walk through the mud and go through and go down to the back of that property. It was an acreage property, a bit more of a rural property. It was probably a 35 second walk down to the back boundary, but the reason that he wanted to show us that is because he just put a new fence in and he hadn't mentioned that. And while we were down there, he's like, well, I'm glad you're here because that person won't be getting my business, because you know, if they're not worried about what money I've injected into this property, then they're not going to get my business at all. Anyway, if people can get fairly pretentious when it comes to their property, because everybody believes that their property is incredible in comparison to anyone else's. And as I mentioned, I've been in countless situations where I've asked for a virtual tour of the property over the phone, setting up the appointment, where where I've gotten there and gone, wow, this is nowhere near like the picture that they depicted, which gives us a very clear analysis of the person that you're dealing with as well. You know, and all of this stuff, guys, you might be thinking, well, this is a crappy podcast episode where it's just going through the basics, but we are falling out of touch with the basics when setting an appointment to create that point of difference for us, because every other agent that we're up against is just simply going, yeah, I can be around there on Wednesday, or I can be around there this afternoon, and goes in without any preset agenda, without any pre-listing kit, without any touch points. And if you can go through those touch points with the seller before you get to that appointment and get those beautiful notes on the property so that you can build rapport quickly. Another touch point that I want to add into this as well with the lead up to the appointment and also after the appointment is sending out a video text message. You can quickly put your phone on selfie mode, and after you've spoke to them about setting the appointment, ring. You can just quickly shoot a video. Hi there, John. It was a pleasure speaking to you today. I really look forward to coming over between 6 and 6:15 this Friday to see your property. If there's any questions in the meantime, feel free to reach out to me on this number. You'll be getting a pre-listing kit within the next 24 hours. Please take some time to look through it, and I will look forward to seeing you on Friday. Really, it might be a little bit quirky, might be a little bit awkward, but that selfie text message video that you send out is another touch point. But then also when you're leaving the appointment, sit in the car and go, hey guys, I'm really excited about what just happened in the meeting that we just had. Wonderful property. It was better than what I actually thought it was going to be from the explanation you gave me over the phone. And I'm excited about taking this to the next step. If there's any questions along the way, give me a call on this number. But just wanted to say thank you very much for your time. The other thing that I'd always do after the appointment as well is I'd always take a little bit of time to stand out the front of the property and admire it. Now, regardless of what type of property it is and how nice it is, you've got to show them that, again, you're in a position where you care about what their biggest asset is, and you're going to take some time to actually pause for a moment and look, rather than just walking straight to your car, getting on the phone and going to the next appointment. You can take a little bit more of that time. So guys, these are just some key focal points where we're going through some of the stuff that's a little bit more touchy feely, the setup of that appointment itself and getting that appointment ready, which is also already on another podcast episode in a lot more detail. But I want to make sure that we're reminding you of those points. But the other point that I'm adding there is the property tour. The property tour is a key point in all of this, because another key point that you could do in that property tour is you could pause for a second and say to them, well, do you think we'd use this photo as the main shot? Maybe you do it in the kitchen, maybe you do it wherever. And it gives you an understanding again of what they believe the best aesthetic view of their property is. Just all these little things to get them more connected. And I believe that with all the stuff that I've just been through, as well as some of the other stuff in more detail in some of our other episodes, you won't even need to be that great at listing presentation in order to get the business. Thanks guys for tuning in. Looking forward to you tuning in to another episode of Rethink Real Estate very shortly. Thank you.